Recorded in Seattle, Washington. It's an earful in the Emerald City.
Hold on to your butt.
Where local and national gossip is twisted with comedy. Starring Shoddy and Slim. Two typical guys who hold nothing back.
What the hell is so great about that?
To make your jaw sore.
Oh, that's nasty.
Get your mind out of the gutter and give it up for Shoddy and Slim.
Welcome to our Christmas episode, everybody. You are listening to An Earful in the Emerald City. I'm Shoddy, and along beside me is my partner in crime.
Hey, kiddos.
Slim. And Slim, this is the long-awaited Christmas episode. It's also our 10th episode. 10. We've been doing this for 10 weeks already. Can you
double
believe
digits,
it?
Double digits, and you guys haven't forced us to quit yet, luckily.
I know. And thanks to you. Thanks to our fans and listeners who are getting the name out. We are increasing listeners episode by episode, week by week, day by day. And I just want to give everyone a big thank you. Me and Slim, we are truly grateful that you are listening to us, you know, and you know, we are going to continue to get better. And I think that we have since the first episode, but you know, we really appreciate it.
Yeah, and we definitely do, guys. I mean, not because at this point I ain't telling nobody. So somebody's doing it. Either the big guy over here or it's all you guys listening. So we definitely appreciate that, guys. And like you said, we're going to keep working on it. But hang around. This is going to get interesting.
Yes. And Slim, you know, we're only a couple of days away from Christmas. Are you?
It's right around the corner.
Are you
here.
Feeling jolly?
There's an electricity in the air that I can almost feel. There's a buzz. And it's not just the eggnog and brandy, all right? Which this guy actually hooked it up, came through like he said. So as we speak here, we're sipping on what looks like pancake mix, but tastes rather delicious, actually.
Yeah. I told everyone that he would like it. You know, he didn't think that he would, but, you know, he's drinking that shit like candy.
E&J, man, that was one of the first fifths I got on as a kid, you know. I mean, it's only a $10 fifth, tastes pretty good. I think my mom's boyfriend had a half gallon of it, and we stole some out of that, you know, so it kind of got me hooked on it early. But yeah, no, it's good stuff, and it's definitely got that festive feel to it. So
coming up on the show, our weekend rewind, and trust me, you do not want to miss this one. This was a pretty eventful weekend for me and Slim. And we're going to count down the top 10 Christmas movie characters. You will not want to miss that.
Mm.
And the Steve Harvey situation, what he pulled off this past Sunday when he announced the wrong winner of Miss Universe. And Slim was supposed to go on a date Friday, but that unfortunately didn't happen. And the big finale for the show, me and Slim made a Seattle version of the 12 Days of Christmas.
So stay tuned for that shit.
Yes, that will be at the end of our show. But let's start with the weekend rewind. Slim? What? Spill it, man.
Oh,
spill
geez.
It.
This was quite the weekend. This was a crazy one. I, as you already alluded to, I was supposed to start it off on Friday. I was supposed to go on a date. The first date that I would be probably have gone on in, God, maybe a couple of years here now. I don't know. I mean, my ex-girlfriend, we never really went out on dates. We just kind of were hanging out with friends, and then eventually it just kind of turned into more. But it was never really a dating situation. But I was supposed to go on a date with this girl from POF, since this POS over here made me sign up, finally got some action on
plenty
it.
Plenty of fish.
So I was supposed to go out with this girl. We planned for Friday. I wanted to keep it a little suspenseful, so I didn't get a hold of her for like 2 days before. You know, we set the time, set the place. She said, yeah, it's good. So, okay, great. So I didn't get a hold of her for a couple days before. it ends up, you know, like I said, I wanted to build it, the suspense a little bit, make her kind of wonder where I was at, what was going on. But, you know, we're adults. We set a time. We set a place. You fucking show up. That's what you do, okay? That's how it goes. So I'm heading over there on Friday, and as I'm driving over there, I just get this weird kind of feeling, and I'm like, oh, man, this girl, she might not show up here. She might not show up
Why
here.
Why did you get that feeling already?
Because it hadn't crossed my mind till that point, and then once I actually did register it, then it was like, holy shit, this is actually a pretty decent possibility here.
Well, that's your first problem right there. You're thinking too fucking negative.
That could be. I've been accused of that before.
Once that popped up in your head, you were fucked. You're fucked. It's like going to the ring with if you're facing Mike Tyson. If you lose eye contact with him, he knows that he's got you in the bag. Seriously. Yeah. Seriously. That's how Mike Tyson beat the majority of his opponents. Intimidation. And you were intimidated.
I definitely was a little bit, man. I definitely was, but so I'm driving over there. I took off a little early. I wanted to make sure I was early. I wanted to make sure I beat her there. So I get to the bar, and first thing I do, she gave me her number in the last message she sent. First thing I do was I sent her a text right after that. So I sent her a text. I'm chilling. Just let her know I'm there. 5 minutes goes by, and she texts me back. She says, oh, did you not get my message? Oh, no, I feel terrible. I feel terrible. Ends up, I hadn't been on the app for a couple days. Like I said, I made radio silence with her, and I just stayed off the app. There's nothing to do on there anyway. So, but it turns out she sent me a message saying, "Hey, I'm not going to make it." And this was on Friday at almost 5 o'clock.
Whoa,
when we're supposed to meet at 7. I was like, motherfucker. So I made the best of it anyway. I told the bartender my story. I got a few laughs out of him and ended up getting a free drink. So that was pretty good. But, I mean, does that count as being stood up a two-hour before I'm not going to make it? I mean, does that technically this is the kind of things I don't understand when it comes to dating and all the fucking rules and all the bullshit and this and that and the rules of engagement.
Well, let me. Well, no. You
2 hours before, 7 o'clock is the meeting time, and she hit me up at 5.
Well, Slim, you got stood up. Sorry to break it to you.
No, I've already come to terms with it.
Well, hard times.
Yeah, no kidding.
Hard times, man. Did you do anything Saturday?
Saturday. No, Saturday was a pretty chill day. I worked and did some other stuff, but I actually had to be up early on Sunday. I was working, doing some more promos for the fucking Hawks game this past Sunday.
Go Hawks, by the way. God, man, yeah. They are looking unstoppable.
Another strong performance. These guys, they're not letting up, luckily, and it's fun to watch, but... So I was down there at the fucking place at 7 a.m. on Sunday. I had to be there at 7. And the craziest part about it was, it actually still was somewhat difficult to find parking down there. It was fucking unreal. There was people setting up for their tailgating at 7 in the goddamn morning, dude.
That's how we do it.
7 in the morning.
That's
what the fuck?
Football fans do it, man.
It's the afternoon game. Get the fuck out. 7 o'clock. How hard do you need to try to make new friends that you got to be down there 5 hours before the fucking game starts?
Now, I have not been to a Seahawks Six. Game. No, I have not been to a Seahawks game, nor I haven't tailgated at one, but I've been to plenty of Texas Tech games. And when they would play at like 5-6 o'clock at night, we would set up at 8 in the morning. We would have breakfast burritos and beer.
God, dude, I just feel like if you got me down to the stadium 5 hours before the game started, I'm going to be incapacitated by the time kickoff happens. There's no fucking way I'm going to make the distance. All right, you saw me this weekend. It was that's just insane. But they were doing it big. Like I said, I it was tough to find parking even, but did that. That worked out really well. Actually, it was supposed to be. I got paid for a 4-hour minimum and only ended up fucking working for 1 hour. So that was
that hey,
was,
that's not bad.
Yeah, so that was definitely dope. So, but yeah, I did that and then worked that on Sunday and then took a bunch of my friends out for a nice holiday dinner.
Now before
nice holiday before we, meal,
before we talk about, by the way, me and Slim met up at Club Hollywood Sunday, and that's where he's about to get into. But before we get into that story, I want to talk about my weekend on Saturday when I went to the Mustard Seed Pub in Bellevue. Man. So I was there with some of my friends that go there, and we were playing pool, and man, all of a sudden on the digital jukebox, I start hearing a bunch of Texas country music.
Oh, what?
Yeah. Texas has their own genre of country, and they consider it, in quotations, real country.
Yeah. So, does the boot scootin' boogie?
No, real country. That's too mainstream for them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like for instance, like
they're like country hipsters, basically. Country hipsters.
No, like redneck country. Like
they were listening to it before it was cool.
Like the Lord loves a drinking man. like that.
Probably does.
Well, Jesus did drink wine.
Yeah.
But anyway, and just back to back. The back, and I'm just like, I thought I left San Angelo years ago, and I'm hearing this. You're like, I haven't heard Texas country on a jukebox in a bar since living there. And I'm just like, and I just yelled out for the hell of it, who's playing all that cracker shit? And there's a group of people right by me where I was playing pool, just started laughing. And one guy, like he thought I was fucking serious. And like he slowly raises his hand. It was me. I'm like, dude, I'm fucking with you. Cause like this guy was like 5'6", a buck 30. And like, I think I had him shitting in his pants, and I just explained to him, nah, man, I grew up in Texas, and I used to hear this music all the time, and, you know, I'm not a big, I mean, I really tried getting into country, because I did live in Texas, and country music is a big part of the Texas culture down there, but I just couldn't.
I wonder, are there any Texas, or any black country singers?
Yeah, you ever heard of Cowboy Troy?
Cowboy Troy, huh?
And Darius Rucker, he used to be the lead singer for Hootie and the Blowfish.
Oh, he does country now?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, well, he does
country. Well, that guy's about as white as it comes. I mean, let's be
honest. Well, he has a white wife, too. So, yeah. I mean,
exactly.
Yeah.
For all we know, he could be doing blackface every day.
Man, no, fuck you, man. Oh, my gosh. Here we go with the racism.
Oh, shit. Jeez. Hey, you started it, man.
I didn't start shit.
You used the C word.
Oh my gosh. But no. Oh, and let me rewind to Thursday, man. I went to go see Star Wars.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Oh, you didn't tell me that.
Yeah, I went to go see Star Wars Thursday.
You fucking geek.
Yeah. Man, let me tell you, man. Like I've never seen Star Wars in theaters. I've only seen bits and parts of episodes 4 through 6, and I've seen episodes 1, 2, and 3 in its entirety. I wasn't a big fan of episodes 1 and 2, but I did like 3 because that's when Anakin Skywalker turns into Darth Vader. But we went to an 11:30 p.m. showing at Lincoln Square in Bellevue, and I just saw people dressed up as Stormtroopers, Princess Leia, Luke Skywalker, Darth Vader, and when the opening scenes came up, everyone just started cheering, it was like being in a concert. It was crazy, it was insane. And that movie theater had a 24-hour showing. When we got there, there was a line for a showing at 12:05. When we got out, there was a line for a showing at 2 a.m., and I saw a sign for a showing at 8:30 in the morning.
So, wait, how long were you guys waiting?
We got there like 10-15 minutes before the movie started. So the room was already open. We sat down and we're already there. It was packed.
So you didn't even have to wait though. Damn.
Yeah, and the budget was $200 million for the movie, and it made the budget and then some. It made $253 million. That's a new record.
Just on the opening weekend?
Yes.
Wow, yeah. It's crazy shit. You got the people that fucking dress up. They find a good reason to get out of their mom's basement for one.
Hey, whoa. Thursday. Oh, my. Man, look.
Put on dust off the stormtrooper outfit.
Oh, my gosh.
Take it out of the box.
Man. But no, man, I'm a bit of a Star Wars fan now, man.
So how was the movie, though?
Movie was amazing.
It was good? It lived up to the hype?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah. And the end of the movie, what happened?
Good storyline, everything?
I'm not going to say shit.
Yeah, don't spoil it.
I'm not going to be that guy who was in love.
The storyline, the graphics, all that was good?
Yes. It was good. And for people that do want to see it but haven't seen the other six, I will say this: you don't have to see episodes 4, 5, or 6 to understand what's going on in episode 7. So that's a good thing.
Hmm. Wow, that's cool. I didn't know you did that, but yeah, I was thinking about just driving around and seeing all the fucking hoopla. But Thursday, that was kind of a weird night. So called early. You must have gone after work then. Did you go straight there?
No, I went home for a bit, and then I got invited by some friends to go, and I went.
Oh, okay. I actually saw this motherfucker that night. We actually did a first in our friendship. We worked at the same location together on the same day.
Oh, yeah. What was it? It was Thursday. He did a demo at the store I worked at.
Yeah. Yeah. So he looked that place apart.
Yeah, he looked all professional and shit, trying to sell half pops that no one buys. I swear.
Yeah.
I swear no one buys that shit.
Dude, they were actually buying them.
Really?
I think I sold like 12 bags, which that's pretty good. The last time I did that, I think maybe one or two people. Everybody just wants a free fucking sample, and then they want to be on their way. But they were actually buying them there. Like somebody would give a little, they give a little taste, you know. I think it's the type of people that is walking in. I think they have a certain kind of reputation that they want to uphold, and then you know once they take that free sample, okay, I almost feel partially obligated to buy. But yeah, no, it went well. But it was fun. This guy was dicking around, stocking shelves,
dicking around my ass,
introducing me to all his coworkers. Which shout out if you guys are listening, you get some good people there. Everybody was really nice, so that was definitely a fun night. But yeah, it was a long weekend though, man.
Yeah, it was. Now rewind to Sunday.
Oh, that's a fast forward, actually. Fast forward.
I'm
from
sorry.
Thursday.
Ooh,
yeah, you're mixing up our days here. So we're going back now. We rewind it for a minute. Now we're playing it forward 3x speed, and we're back to Sunday.
Back to Sunday, where I meet up with Slim later on that night at Club Hollywood in North Seattle. It's a little hole in the wall casino. City.
Yeah, I took with some friends out to dinner, did a holiday dinner, you know. I don't buy gifts for my friends, you know. It's like, what the fuck am I going to buy you that you didn't already have or that one of your parents didn't get you or your significant other or whatever. But I did want to do something nice.
You could have got him a free Pornhub premium subscription.
No one needs that. Come on. We've already discussed this in the past. That's a thing of the past. No, but we went out to dinner. We went to this little place out in Edmonds called Five Bistro. Nice little joint. They got some good Italian food. They got some good like seafood. They got a pretty good mix of stuff there. I did some work for the owner there, so I had a little bit of a gift certificate. But went out there, had a good time, had some drinks, got everybody to go back to the wood. We call it the wood, you know. It sounds a little more hood, obviously, but that's the
motherfucking
club.
Shoreline is not the
that's
hood.
The club Hollywood, man. Dude. They don't call it Hornline for no reason. All right, man. There's some shiesty stuff going on out there you don't see.
We got all these white guys that are raised in the suburbs giving hood nicknames to their hangout spot.
Exactly. Club that's the fucking wood.
Club hood. Anyway, go on.
Almost as hard as Inglewood.
No. Shoreline is no Inglewood.
You know, it's close. I mean, it's debatable. No, but so we went out there. We already had a few drinks, and fucking drinks were flowing. Shout out to my favorite bartender around, Miss Bree. There, she I wouldn't pay her this kind of compliment if she was listening. So, but I know she's not. So I'm going to. But yeah, she was pouring them fucking thick. She usually lets me get away with one or two free ones, and probably definitely overserved me more than I should have been. But we went down there, introduced her, and then Shoddy made it out. So we had a couple of drinks, but holy shit, people, I went fucking ham on Sunday night. And for those of you who don't listen to Kanye West or Jay-Z, ham is when you go hard as a
motherfucker.
And we'll do another hip hop reference here. As my boy Drake would say, I was fucking on one. All right. I haven't been that was rare form for me. And I'm glad Shoddy got to see it finally for the first time, because it might not happen for a while, but holy cow. I was literally butt faced the whole entire time at the casino.
If you want to see or if you want to an image of how Slim was, there is a picture of me and him on our Facebook page.
And I definitely got the drunk eyes going.
Yes.
That's for sure.
Yes. And you know, it was, I benefited from going there because I didn't have to spend one dime. He bought me a shot and a drink. His buddy bought me a shot and a drink. And I got free sushi. I don't even like sushi, but this sushi was pretty good. It was deep fried. It was cooked in the inside, cooked on the outside, and raw on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
It was damn good. Yeah. And there were good people that worked there. It was great bartender, great server. I met some good people. I met a Panthers fan who I talked shit to all night. It was pretty good. So I mean, I had a blast.
Yeah, it was. Oh, I had fun too. The bits and pieces that I remember of it. They definitely seemed fun. That was one of those nights for me where you're partying, you wake up. Hopefully you're in your bed. You say, what the hell? I thought we were partying here just a minute ago. But woke up still drunk, which, you know, when you do that, you're naive at first, and you're like, oh, man, oh, yeah, I'm not too bad. Wow, yeah, you know, I actually feel pretty good. If this is what binge drinking's always like, I could see myself doing this more regularly. And then you make it to afternoon, 2 or 3 o'clock, and by that point, you want to put a fucking gun in your mouth and unload the entire fucking clip. I mean, that is my biggest issue with drinking too much these days at my ripe old age of 30 years old, is the complete waste that the next day turns out to be. For the first 2 hours, I'm trying to get my fucking bearings and realize what's going on. Find out where the hell I put my pants. I mean, it was fun though. We had fun. I had all the friends out. This guy got to meet some of my friends finally, so that was good. And yeah, that was a fun weekend, man. That was a fun weekend. We did it big. I mean, this next weekend's gonna be, I think it's gonna be pretty close. We'll see.
It might really be. What's going on?
Dude, I think it's just, you know, you got Friday's Christmas, so yeah. Basically it's basically a 3-day week. And a lot of people are getting off probably early on Thursday too. So you know, they'll fucking, well, it'll be a long weekend. They'll be drinking, you know, there'll be all that stuff. Like, you can't avoid it. I mean, that's the thing. Like, we had dinner and, you know, we're drinking because everybody's having a good time. We're laughing. We're eating good food. We're having fun. And the drinks, they just start flowing. You just literally can't help yourself. Like, this, for me, is the hardest time of the year to stay sober. No questions asked. The time from Thanksgiving basically through till the new year. I mean, You could pay me $1,000 to not have a single drink of alcohol for that 1 month of time, that little over month, and I don't know if I could do it. Even 10 grand. I don't know if I could do it.
I told everyone this a month ago. this is a time to get drunk. This is a time to eat a lot. I've been trying to tell people this.
Stuff some booze, stuff some food in that hole that's living in your heart. Yeah. You know, just fill it up so the pain goes away. But no, it is fucking hard though, man. And I was doing so good too. Since my birthday, I went like 2 months without like getting shitty drunk. And I was, not only did I fall off the wagon this weekend, but I got fucking ran over by it too, it seemed like. But like I said, it was all in the name of fun. So, well, hopefully, won't be doing that too soon, and until probably later this weekend. But
wow,
I mean, I'm being realistic here. Okay, I'm being realistic. God damn, it's gonna be a festive time here. It's the most wonderful time to get wasted. It really is, though, people.
Gosh.
Fucking A, man. That was the weekend.
It was a fun weekend. It really was.
Yeah.
So, I'm not sure how much I'll get up, but I'm gonna try to get out Saturday night after I get off work, and hopefully I can meet up with this guy again. This crazy guy. So
fucking A, if I'm not incapacitated already, god damn. But no, that was definitely some fun. So what's up with you, man? You were talking about some Christmas shopping. How you looking here?
I am almost done. I got to shop for three more people, mm-hmm. And I shopped Friday. Man, so before I moved to Seattle, I grew up in Austin, but after Austin, I lived in a bunch of small towns in Texas, and I'm not used to having a lot of choices and variety when it comes to shopping. It's just, you know, what I've been used to for the last few years is you get your shopping done in just one place. And
Amazon?
Huh?
Amazon?
And no, dick.
Mm.
I'm talking about like actually going out and going somewhere and shopping. For instance, I live by the Bellevue Factoria Mall. And 20 minutes away is University Village. And up the street, Kirkland has the mall. And downtown Bellevue, there's you know, Bellevue Square. Like, so...
Oh, yeah, you are in close proximity to a lot of shopping centers.
Yes, it's crazy.
That's what happens.
I got the majority of my shopping done at University Village. And it was, for Friday, it was a madhouse. It's a freaking madhouse.
Friday, you should have come Saturday when I was working, man. You went down there? They got a good little mall, though, actually.
Yeah.
It's outdoor, but, you know, what the hell.
Yeah.
They got all those fucking umbrellas for everybody, so.
Yeah, man, that's so cool. Yeah. That is so cool.
Well, you know, those hot Asian chicks, they don't want to get their hair wet, you know?
And yeah.
And can you blame them? Can you blame them? Come on, people.
But, man, I didn't know that. I got one of my presents there for my dad. I didn't know Amazon like had an actual store. They have a store called Amazon Books.
Is it just the books there, though? I've seen the store, but I haven't been in there.
They have books, and they sell their Amazon Fire and Amazon Prime product. And they have this new thing. Well, I don't know if it's new, but it's called Amazon Games, where you can play games on there. And they have Flappy Bird. And I was playing Flappy Bird with this kid. Like this 4-year-old kid, and I'm pretty good at Flappy Bird. I can get up to like 200 points, where as he was only getting up to like 5 or 6. Poor kid.
He's way better than that fucking kid. That kid sucks compared to Shoddy.
Yeah, well, I mean, 5 points for like a 6-year-old is not bad. I just have really good timing on that game.
Is that that's the new Bird game? I thought it was Angry
Flappy.
Birds.
No,
I thought that was, or that, was that like last year?
No, I think you're thinking of Angry Birds.
Yeah, that was, yeah.
No, there's a new one called like Flappy Bird.
So this is the new Bird game.
No, it's not really new, but it was, you know, I think it's only like a year or 2 years old, something like that. But anyway, I was doing really good. And then I was on that thing for like, oh my God, like 10 minutes where I'm like, okay, I got to get shopping done. But anyway, I was walking around the store and that kid's still playing, and adults were walking by watching him play, and I heard him saying, "Oh, you should have seen the guy here like a few seconds ago. He was really good." And I'm like, oh, man, that's a cool kid.
He's giving you some props.
I know. I went to Amazon Books and got my dad a book. For my grandmother, I went to Metropolitan Market, which if you haven't been to yet, to Metropolitan Market, if you love to cook, that place is the place to shop for cooking. It's very high end, and I guarantee it's very high end. And I will warn you now, if you walk out of there spending less than $30, I salute you.
You've done well.
Yeah. But University Village, that's probably my favorite shopping mall or shopping area in the greater Seattle area, besides Bellevue Square. Bellevue Square is pretty nice, even though they have a lot of high-end stores.
Yeah. Yeah, U Village is cool, though. They've put a lot of work into that place recently, and their mix of shops is pretty good. They're a little bit on the higher end, it seems like, all in all. But again, they got a good mix of everything there. But and like I said, lots of the fucking ladies walking around there too. This horn dog right across from me. Hey, you know they're as long as they're of age, you know. What do you want me to do here? Jesus, I'm single and trying to get myself out there and still getting stood up on a weekly basis.
You know, I hope you take that chance of taking her out again, because she did.
So, okay, so let me ask you this, man, because I ended up having to poll the audience. I talked to all my friends. What's the procedure from here? You know, she wants a redo. She asked for it. She sent me a text asking for it, and you know, as much as I would like to give it to her, I kind of feel like I'm going to look like a fucking tool, you know? And it's like, what if I put all this effort in, do it again, and then A, she stands me up again, or B, probably even worse, she ends up being a crazy person. Like, I'm going to be like, what the fuck am I doing here, you know? I don't know. What do you think? I mean, do I give her another shot here?
Yes, I think you should give her another shot, because she's the one that offered you another shot. If you offered her another shot, then I would just say, no, you know, on to the next one.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, she offered it. Maybe something did come up.
Yeah.
And what did one of your friends say?
my buddy's girlfriend, she had actually a very optimistic outlook on it. And she was saying that maybe this girl was looking to put out on the first date, and unfortunately she was on her period, so she had to cancel because of it.
Exactly.
And I said, wow, Jen, and I said, that is the most optimistic outlook you could have on this situation by far. But yeah, you never know. There's got to be an outside shot of it. But no, I just feel like, to me, I just feel like if it was the other way around and I stood her up, I feel like you'd be, fuck, good. Well, take a hike, pal. You're not getting another fucking shot at this. I feel like there'd be no chance at a second shot, you know? There would be no redos, no attempts again. It would be, well, you're fucking done, pal. Sorry you missed out on this goodness here, all right? You won't be getting none of this. I don't know. Maybe that's just me, but
what about if she's testing you?
Do we have to play these games? Do we have to play these games?
There's some women who, man, you are almost, you're 30?
Yes.
You're 30. You should know this by now. There are some women out there who test men.
I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it in the slightest. And maybe she is. And you know, I'm impressed with myself because I really didn't get pissed off at all. I just kind of laughed it off. Like I said, the bartender, I told him the story. He got a couple laughs. Ended up giving me a free drink out of it. So I just fucking laughed it off. And that's why, you know, when you're going to plan a date like this, you choose a restaurant that you like. You don't fucking go for one that the girl likes, all right? You choose some shit that you like so that when she doesn't show up, you say, well, fuck you. I'm still eating my fucking ass off here, all right? So it was fine in that regard. And, you know, we live pretty close, so it wasn't even that far of a drive. And I'll probably give her another shot, man. I mean, you know, she's a solid. Oh God, what if she ends up listening to this at some point? She's a good looking girl. Okay, what? She's a good looking girl. So that nice obviously helps.
Choice of words.
Yeah, so that obviously helps your case out when it comes to standing somebody up and getting away with it. But I'll give her a shot. I mean, that seemed to be the consensus of the group was that, you know, if you think she's going to be worth it, then yeah, definitely give her another shot. So I will. We'll see. I sent some texts that were kind of dubious, so I might have blown my chance at any redo already. I might have already fucked this one up before it even started, but we'll see. I'll probably holler at her tomorrow and see what we can get. We'll keep you guys updated on how disastrous it becomes.
Slim with his douchebaggery ways.
Man. It's like why do okay, listen, that's fine. You stood me up, whatever. If you want to redo, that's fine. But I got to fucking plan this shit too. I got to plan my second coming of my demise again. Like, fucking, hey, can we get any effort from the other side over here? And the excuse she gave me too was the swine flu. She said the swine flu was going around the office.
Really?
The fucking swine flu.
Did she really say that?
Yeah, that's what she did. That was kind of like, you went way too specific there. You went way too specific.
You didn't tell me that.
I did leave that part out. You're right.
Oh, no.
You're right. And you know me, man. I'm no pork on my fork, all right?
No.
I don't fuck around with that shit. But I think I'm going to give her another shot, though, it'll be a fucking fun story, even if it is a disaster, to be honest. That's the nice thing is at least when these things blow up in your face, at least you get a good story to tell your buddies when it's all said and done, and they can get a couple of laughs at your expense and through your misery.
Wow. Well, that is our edition of the Week in Rewind, everyone. And I will tune in for our next show for what we have going on this upcoming weekend, but
possibly some second/first dates.
Yeah,
we'll see. Hopefully, yeah. we'll do our best to keep it juicy this next weekend. But why don't we get to the thing that I know you've been waiting on?
Yes,
this guy's
I've been wanting to do this.
Guy's been tapping his feet the whole time. Here.
I've been wanting to do this for a very long time, and now I have the chance to. It is my list. It's a list I came up with. The top 10 Christmas movie characters.
Boom. Some of the most loved, spirited, jolly motherfuckers out there that the movie industry has been able to throw at us. We compiled them. We did some research. We watched some movies. We asked some questions. We took some opinions. And we got a list of the top 10 here for you. Now, everybody might not agree with this, and that's fine. To each his own. But when it comes to Christmas, this big guy over here knows his shit, all right? So he put in some extensive research on this, and I got to agree with him on the most part. We were torn on a couple of these, but all in all, we were pretty much in agreeance. And I'm going to start us off with not number 10, but I'm going to start us off with an honorable mention.
We have one
honorable mention on the list, and that is the loved Clark Griswold. Okay. Clark Griswold is honorable mention. I think everybody's seen Christmas Vacation. That movie has got to be probably, in my opinion, top 5 Christmas movies of all time. And he would have made our list. He would have made our list of characters, but he doesn't just do a Christmas character. I mean, that was the best movie of all the National Lampoons, in my opinion. The Van Wilder, I mean, that was definitely pretty good. But as far as Chevy Chase's character goes, that was probably probably the best National Lampoons movie. And, you know, everybody knows Clark Griswold. They know his spirit. They know the cheer. They know the fucking house that had a million goddamn lights on it. I mean, everybody loves the guy. So if he was just a Christmas character, he would have definitely been on our list. But he had some other roles too, so he kind of got docked a few points on that. But certainly honorable mention and somebody that you can't forget about when it comes to Christmas films.
I agree. And my favorite National Lampoon movie was Vegas Vacation.
Vegas. Okay. Yeah. That. Yeah. That. See, and that's the problem is that was just about as good as Christmas Vacation. So it's like, I mean,
actually, no, Vegas Vacation sucked to a lot of people. That was out of all the vacation movies, that was probably the worst one. But I haven't seen the most recent one,
Mr. Papa Giorgio. I mean, come on, your usual table, Mr. Papa Giorgio. No, not tonight, Ricky. That's some good shit. Everybody always dreams about that when you're a fucking kid.
Yeah, I know.
But
all right, let's get this countdown going. Number 10. You know who I put as number 10?
Number 10. How are we starting this?
Fred Claus.
Fred Claus. Holy
Fred
shit.
Fred Claus, man.
Is that Kringle's brother or yeah. What the hell is that?
Kringle's brother, who is played by Vince Vaughn.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yes, yes.
Nice.
Number 9, Jack Skellington from The Nightmare Before
Ooh,
Christmas.
Ooh, the spookiest Christmas character there is.
Yes, man. Now let's talk about Jack Skellington. Now, I was in a dilemma because I wasn't sure if I should put him on here because, you know, Jack Skellington he's the Pumpkin King.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, pumpkins are associated with Halloween. So, man, I was so torn to put him on here, but, man, The Nightmare Before Christmas is one of those movies that it's like a 20-year-old question. Is The Nightmare Before Christmas more of a Christmas movie or a Halloween movie?
Yeah, they're toting that line the whole time. I mean, it's kind of a tough one, but he meant well. He meant well in the Christmas spirit.
He did.
His execution was a little off.
Yes.
But he meant well, you know, he had good intentions, and I think that ultimately is what got him onto our list, is the fact that he wanted the best for Christmas, and, you know, obviously hilarity ensued, and shenanigans as well, but the guy, he tried his best, that's for sure, so.
Yeah, but I think at the end of the movie, he knew that he should just stick to what he knows, his day job, and that's just Halloween.
Yeah, they're two different things. They're two different. Christmas is so jolly, and Halloween is, you know, all scary and spooky and all that kind of stuff.
It's like your fucking throat.
Yeah, they're just two different of emotions, but definitely a unique character, and I think a movie that most people did enjoy and thought was pretty good.
I don't like Halloween that much because a black guy dies first in every life or death situation.
The most athletic person of the entire group.
And no shit!
Somehow he couldn't manage to sneak his way out of there.
Oh, no, the virgin survives.
Yeah, oh yeah. Long enough to have her titties exposed at some point. All right, let's keep this fucking thing moving here.
Number eight. And this is one of my personal favorites. Frank Cross from Scrooge, the character that Bill Murray played. Now, Scrooge is an adaptation of A Christmas Carol. Frank Cross, Bill Murray's character, is based off of Ebenezer Scrooge, and he is a high-end TV executive who is making his workers work on Christmas Eve instead of being home with their families to do a live edition of A Christmas Carol.
Mm.
And Frank Cross, he has all the traits as Ebenezer Scrooge. He's selfish, grumpy, mean, you know, has very little friends, doesn't associate himself with his family, and you know, and he fires someone on Christmas Eve. Oh man, a dick. And only a character fitted for Bill Murray.
Yeah, that's definitely true. He's the kind of guy that can pull off that kind of role. I mean, I hear he's kind of an asshole in real life, to be honest. But
really,
that's what I heard.
You know
who
what?
Fucking knows.
You know what? Unfortunately, I can kind of see that.
I mean, you know, he's distinguished. He's a funny guy. He probably has a certain level of arrogance to him that is probably a little bit of a turnoff. But But no, that was a good roll, though. Definitely a good thing. But number seven here. Number seven.
This number seven is Slim is one of Slim's personal favorites.
This is not one of. This is my personal.
Oh, I'm sorry. His personal favorite
Christmas character by far, and this is Billy Bob Thornton's character from Bad Santa. Now this has got to be one of. I mean, this is a fucking classic comedy. It's under the radar. It's a little bit underrated, but definitely a good fucking movie. I mean, just the character, the guy who's supposed to be playing Santa Claus, and he's just a complete alcoholic, dirtbag piece of shit. I mean, you gotta fucking love that, and he does it so fucking well. He does it so well. He's sitting eating his lunch. And the mom comes up to the kid with him, asking to take a picture, and he fucking yells at her and tells him he's on his break. I mean, God, just so good. One of the very unique character, you know, and that's kind of what we went for on this list. People that are kind of standouts that you don't really get that much. And again, like I said, probably one of Billy Bob Thornton's better roles. I mean, it was. Definitely a classic. A lot of laughs. They throw a midget in there too, a black midget. You know, it's basically like a unicorn almost. But it was a good film, all around good. Again, probably top 10, top 12 comedies of all time. Maybe. I mean, the first time I saw this shit, I was fucking dying laughing. So that was number seven there for you.
Number six, Scott Calvin, aka Santa Claus from. The Santa Claus, as Tim Allen's character. The Santa Claus came out in, I think, 1994. And this was a pretty cool twist on the Santa Claus story. Now, for those who haven't seen it, basically, Scott Calvin is this, you know, he's a ad executive. However, he doesn't have a good relationship with his ex-wife, nor a very good relationship with his son. And his son is spending the night with him on Christmas Eve. And they hear a noise on the roof. And Tim Allen's character, Scott Calvin, goes outside and says, "Hey!" And it scares Santa Claus. Santa Claus is on the roof. He falls down. They take his eyes off of him. They turn around and he's gone, but the Santa suit is there, and Tim Allen or Scott Calvin, he puts on the Santa Claus suit, and on top of the roof are the reindeer, all eight of them, and they get in the sleigh and they start delivering presents, and. From beginning from Christmas to next Christmas, he starts transforming into Santa Claus, and it's a pretty cool twist because he goes from being this workaholic ad exec to the jolly myth that we all know as Santa Claus, also known as Saint Nick, also known as Père Noël.
All that good stuff.
Chris Kringle.
Yeah, they made a little franchise out of it, you know, so you definitely got to give them some credit for that. There's definitely a couple of good movies there, so. All right, number five.
Number five, I can go all day on because he is, I you know, as much as I wanted to put him as number one, I couldn't because that'd be biased, but I think he
probably deserved, one of the most loved Christmas characters, though.
Yes, he deserves to be in the top five. It is, and it's the role that Macaulay Culkin made famous. It is Kevin McAllister from Home Alone.
Mm-hmm. Another excellent movie franchise. This was a big Christmas film for us because I'm 30 years old now. When this came out, the first one, I was probably 7, 8, maybe 9 years old. You know, about that age. That Kevin McAllister was supposed to be. And that's just such a fantasy of kids, you know, when it comes to booby trapping and making forts and doing all that kind of crazy stuff, like that is an all-time fantasy for kids. And when you're a kid and you see this other kid fucking up these stupid ass criminals, like, oh man, that is like, that's so inspirational, man. That's like fucking Nelson Mandela status there. All right. That inspires you. I mean, I made some traps around my house when I first saw this movie, and there was no home invaders I was fighting, you know, I was just doing it for the fuck of it. But and he's cracking jokes, you know, he's making fun of these guys, lighting their fucking heads on fire, doing the bit with the fireworks. I mean, it was all solid gold, especially for a fucking kid. It was just amazing.
I think he's top five because I remember in Home Alone 2, and I will never forget this part. In Home Alone 2, at the beginning, he asks his mom, why are we going to Florida for Christmas? There's no Christmas trees in Florida. And then his mom gives him some bullshit reason. And then he says, how can you have Christmas without a Christmas tree, mom? And I just like, man, like, you got to give this kid credit, man. I mean, he seems fucking psychotic and demented when he's putting on the booby traps, but he really means good. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a damn good kid.
He is a good kid.
You know, and
he's a good
and,
kid.
You know, and it's a damn shame that his parents and family didn't see that, and that his parents let, you know, that douchebag of a redheaded brother Buzz let him fucking, you know, do all that horrible shit to him, and that probably led him coming up with all those, you know, deadly booby traps. Poor kid. And speaking of that, speaking of getting left behind by your family twice, if you haven't seen it yet, Macaulay Culkin makes a short movie of Kevin McAllister 25 years later, and he is a Uber driver who can't drive. The people that he's supposed to be driving drives for him, and it's Kevin McAllister 25 years later, and he's seriously fucked up. Kevin McAllister is seriously fucked up. Now, we don't think about, you know, we don't think about, man, like, if they made like an official Home Alone sequel, how would Kevin McAllister be today? And I'm like, man, I always thought, man, like, he was a smart kid. Even though, you know, those two burglars who Daniel Stern and Joe Pesci brilliantly played, you know, they were dumb. But I mean, he's still a little kid, and those were two grown ass men who he outsmarted not once but twice. So I'm thinking, man, I mean, he was smart, and maybe he would go on, you know, be successful and have, you know, a good job. But man, I never thought about how an 8-year old being left behind twice could really fuck up a kid, and it shows in this little short film where he's a, you know, he's an Uber driver who can't drive, and he's telling his passenger how he got left behind and how he had to fend off from two psychopath burglars, and he's fucked up. Like, it still haunts him to this day. It's actually pretty funny, so don't think that, like, it's a big pity short film. It's actually pretty damn good. It's pretty funny, and if you haven't seen it, go watch it.
They I know they did number 3 with that other kid. It wasn't Macaulay Culkin, but after the second time he got left by himself, that motherfucker needs to be in foster care at that point, all right?
Well,
you got some negligent parents at that point. I don't care if they're upper middle class, they actually
have some
money.
Well, that's exactly why. When you
give me a fucking break. You're leaving your kid behind twice. Come on.
Two words. White and rich.
Yeah, it never hurts, that's for sure.
You know what I always wondered? They lived in that big ass house, and no one ever knew what the fuck they did for a living.
Yeah, it never really got to that.
Like
they were always on like Christmas break. The whole movie, basically.
Yeah, know, but
it takes place over a couple days.
They could afford to pay for they could afford to pay for the dad's brother's family too, and they all and all the adults were in first class. Like Like, I always wondered, like what the fuck did the McAllister parents do for a living?
Yeah,
like, did they work for Pablo Escobar?
Yeah, or someone blowing $50,000 for fucking Christmas.
Yeah. Holy shit.
Must be nice. Well, hey, that's why, you know, Pesci and his boy were staking the joint.
Well, they attempted to and didn't quite work out so well. Got
hit in the face with some paint buckets. Fucking hey, that's definitely a classic, though.
Yes. Number four is another lovable kid. And if you, it's a tradition on TBS that this kid gets shown 24 hours a day. For some people, it's a tradition that they watch it all day. And then there's some who are just like, I can't stand this fucking kid because he's on for 24 hours a day. And I just try to avoid watching TBS. But it's Ralphie from A Christmas Story.
Oh, yeah. Definitely a lovable little guy there. Yeah, this is one of those movies. Out of all these movies, I think this might be the one that people have seen the most. I mean, I'm almost.
Well, of course, because it's on 24 hours.
Exactly. Exactly. You know exactly where to find it, when to find it, how long it's going to be fucking on there. You missed the beginning. It'll be on again.
That is the laziest way to give your employees a day off. Just pop in that video and put it on repeat. Yeah. That's the laziest way to get your employees off for Christmas.
Yeah, Kenny shows up bright and early in the morning, pushes play, and locks the door behind him. So, but hey, no, it's a fun idea though. But yeah, this is a good movie. This is a little bit older, but this is one of the few movies that actually does stand the test of time. You look back on stuff that was from the 70s, early 80s, and sometimes you're just like, oh, God, this is fucking garbage. People actually enjoyed watching this shit. I mean, that's how it is with a lot of comedy. A lot of comedy doesn't necessarily stand the test of time, but this movie definitely does. This is one that a lot of people, if they see it on there, they're going to watch that shit. They're going to let it run. You know, they're going to see him get his fucking eye shot out with the BB gun.
You shoot your eye out, kid.
I mean, it was a good flick for sure.
You know what my favorite part is?
Hmm.
Oh, fudge.
I don't remember what part is that.
When they're changing the tire. Oh, my gosh.
When they're changing the tire
and he slips out the F word. But, yeah, you don't remember
They changed it.
Yeah.
No, I haven't seen that shit to be a...
And it's, and when they get home, his mom cleans his mouth out with soap.
Oh, yeah, that's right. God, clean the mouth out with soap. I think we've all had that done once or twice.
No, white folks do that.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, I definitely
Black
had that
kids
done
get
for me.
Their ass wet.
get the fucking what's that thing that Adrian Peterson used?
Antoine, go out there and pick your switch.
Switch, that is it. Yeah. Pick a good one. Pick a nice solid one that's not gonna break. Oh boy. All right, that was number four. Number three, taking the bronze medal on top 10 Christmas characters, is none other than Will Ferrell's character from The Elf.
The Elf.
This is one that I'm gonna go out on a limb, and even though it's been around for a while, I'm gonna say this was an instant classic when it came out. I mean, this is Will Ferrell doing what Will Ferrell does best. And just acting like a goofy ass motherfucker, and he killed it in this movie. He killed it. You know, again, big laughs. Maybe funnier than Bad Santa. A lot of people might even say this is funnier than Bad Santa. A little bit more family friendly, so that certainly helps its case out. But no, this was a good role from Will Ferrell. This was in. We're in the sweet spot for Will Ferrell, like I like to put it. This is when his hate in his golden years. I think this was just after Anchorman, and then he did this movie. I mean, he was firing on all cylinders at that point. So, but that was definitely good. Who was the guy? Is it James something? The guy that played next to him. The dad or whatever the guy from
James Caan.
James Caan, that's what it is. Thank you. He played a really good role in this movie too. Actually, I was pretty surprised with how he did. But yeah, definitely a lot of big laughs. And I mean, Will Ferrell in fucking pointy shoes. Come on, it's gonna make $100 million. All right, you know that much is for certain at that point. So
Elf came out in 2003.
probably something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that was probably the last Christmas classic really that's come out.
I think Bad Santa might have been a couple of years after that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, Bad Santa's not a family movie.
Yeah,
definitely not. I would have to say Elf was probably the last one.
And that's that kind of is, you know, what helped it out here and got it down on the rankings, just because, you know, Christmas is a family time. It's a family thing. So this was a movie that adults could laugh at, kids could watch it, and they could appreciate it too. So it definitely had both of those going for it. But, yeah, one of Will Ferrell's better roles, that's for damn sure.
Yes. Now for the silver medal, number two, and I think everyone knows who number two is, because if you run into someone who is not in the jolly spirit during Christmas, you are most likely to call them this name, the Grinch.
The Grinch. Yes, a well-known Christmas character, played in a couple different roles. You got Jim Carrey, you got the old cartoon, obviously, where it started, a couple different ways to go. And yeah, this, I mean, I think you can make a case for the Grinch being number one, just as far as notoriety goes, as far as how famous. And yeah, just like Shoddy said, I mean, when somebody isn't in the mood when it comes to Christmas, you will say his name. You will call them the Grinch. You don't call anybody Jack Claus, you know, you don't call him Frank Cross, you don't call him Kevin McAllister, but you will call somebody the Grinch. And it's a long Christmas tradition. You know, he's kind of the antagonist in the whole situation, but hey, every good holiday needs a little bit of antagonism, if that is a word that I probably just made up. But yeah, Grinch is definitely a famous guy. Jim Carrey did a pretty good job playing the role too. Again, something that the kids can appreciate, the parents can watch it and actually be somewhat entertained and enjoy themselves. But definitely, when it comes to Christmas, Grinch is definitely a heavy hitter. No question about that.
Yes, the Grinch is he's a classic, and it. You know, the moral of the story was he did everything he could to try to ruin Whoville's Christmas. He did everything.
Mm-hmm. But you can't break those people's spirit, though.
No, man. And
the Christmas force is too strong within them.
Yeah. Was that a Star Wars pun?
It kind of was, you know. We're coming full circle here.
Goofy SOB.
Yeah.
Anyway, but, you know, his, and it shows at the beginning that he has a small heart, obviously. Because he just doesn't like to be bothered, and he's just a mean son of a bitch.
Mr. Grinch. Come on, he's got his own song, too. I mean, Jesus Christ, this guy is killing it when it comes to Christmas, literally and figuratively.
Yeah, and then the next day, he sees that their spirit's not broken. And he sees that it's just not about presents and presents. And
even though it is in real life.
Well, yeah. Gosh, if there was a Grinch in real life, I think he'd still be a mean son of a bitch.
You're sitting right across from him, pal. You're looking right at him.
Wow. Anyway, his heart starts to grow. And he's like, man, what did I do? I fucked up. So he goes back and tries to return everything, and then they accept him as one of their own.
Just a real feel good story, folks. Really feel good story, you know, one of those true inspirational tales.
Yeah,
but that was the silver medal winner.
Number one is probably the most popular. Well, the character is from probably the most popular Christmas movie of all time. It's an oldie. It's a classic. It's a legend.
Definitely all those things.
Yes. And the character is George Bailey, the character that Jimmy Stewart played from It's a Wonderful Life.
It's a Wonderful Life. It is a wonderful life, Shoddy. It really is. This,
you sure?
I'm positive. Well, some days kind of suck. Yeah. When you get stood up on a date, that kind of sucks. But no, this was, I mean, like it or not, this is definitely one of a Christmas classic. I mean, like you said, probably the most classic Christmas movie of all time. They filmed this thing probably, what, it had to be in the, maybe the late 50s, probably?
I think it came out in 1949.
49? Damn, so it's already been over 50 years. Yeah, so, I mean, again, it stands the test of time. I mean, that's a long time ago, and people can still stomach it and still watch it, but definitely a classic tale, inspirational, and, you know, the exuberance and the excitement of the character. You definitely got to love that, and when you can get that going in the Christmas time, that always makes a big deal, but I haven't seen this one for a while. I might have to watch it again this year. I think they play it on NBC usually.
Yes, they play it on NBC Christmas Eve or Christmas night. I don't remember.
Probably, maybe, yeah, maybe Christmas Eve night. Who knows?
Yes.
Who knows, but.
Yes, it's an NBC tradition. Mm-hmm. Yes.
But yeah, love it or not, you know, you gotta give it up to them. I mean, that thing's been around for 60, 70 years, and we're still fucking talking about it, so. That's for sure. But that's our top 10 Christmas characters. Like I said, you guys might not agree with us and everything, but hit us up on Twitter, on Facebook. Let us know what you think. If there's anybody we missed out on that needs to be on there, maybe some honorable mentions, hit us up. Let us know if we misanalyzed it. You know, we'll take your opinion. Like we said, we're not going to say we're wrong here, but we're open to some discussion on the topic. But yeah, that was it for the Christmas, guys. What else is going on here?
Did you hear what Steve Harvey did on Sunday?
Fucking A, man. You were getting into this a minute right before we got started here, but I didn't hear exactly. What was the situation?
He announced the wrong winner for Miss Universe.
Miss fucking Universe.
He announced the wrong winner.
Okay. Here's my problem with Miss Universe. Why does it got to be Miss Universe, all right? How do we know that there's not a far, far planet, you know, back to Star Wars here, in a far-off galaxy, that is just teeming with hot white bitches? How do we know that? Maybe every single woman on this planet is smoking hot, and, you know, we've just never been there before. I mean, it's pretty arrogant.
Because it hasn't been proved yet.
Why can't it just be Miss World? I mean, is that not a good enough honor? You're the hottest... You're the fucking girl out of, what do we got, probably 3.75 billion women on this goddamn planet? I mean...
And you're still single.
Is that not... Oh, gosh. Wow, that was low blow, man. That was rough. That's a rough one. God damn. Hey, I'm working on it. I told you. We talked about this weekend. No, but what actually happened, though? Was it down to like the last two, and he said the wrong
name? Yeah,
girl?
He said the wrong name, and when he said the wrong name, and the winner, the lights of the confetti came, and they crowned her, and Steve Harvey.
She started crying.
Yeah, she started crying, and Steve Harvey said, "Oh my gosh, I made a mistake."
Oh no way!
Yes.
They got that far in. He just
yes.
Oh, I thought it was like he just accidentally real quick.
No,
person.
No, no. No. They did the celebration, and then he realized that he fucked up.
Oh man.
Oh yeah. Yes, that was it was awful.
She probably kept crying, but for different reasons after that.
Yes.
God, that's brutal. Fucking Steve Harvey, man. That guy. He hasn't been.
Oh, give him a break.
He hasn't been the same since he shaved that high top fade of his. All right, he just has not been the same. That flat top. God, now
that
he's gone bald.
Well, that needed to go because that was so 90s.
Yeah, it was, but it was kind of his fucking shtick. You know, he's kind of one of those guys. But yeah, that's brutal though, man. I mean, that's the thing when you're. MCing a fucking live event like that, something like you gotta be on point, dude. You gotta be fucking on point. And yeah, that's definitely embarrassing for that girl. But honestly though, she'll probably be remembered more than if she won, to be honest. You know, the one that didn't get it but they called her name, she'll probably be remembered for longer now just because of that whole fucking situation.
I don't think anyone's gonna you know what's sad? No one will even remember the winner.
Can you name one Miss Universe winner in the past however fucking long they've been doing it.
And someone made a good assumption. How many of y'all even watched this, and how many of y'all even gave a shit about this contest before Steve Harvey fucked up?
Seriously, do we even know what they're judging him on at this fucking point still? I mean, they do a talent. Give me a fucking break. Get up there and juggle a couple bean bags. God, this is just ridiculous. It's all for fucking show. And I don't know. It's one of the silly things that we still do now. I mean, I'm sure there's some people that enjoy it and get some fun out of it, but fucking seems kind of ridiculous.
You know what concerns me more than that?
Honey Boo Boo?
No. That Steve Harvey is still working for something, or he worked for something that's owned by Trump. Like, Trump owns a Miss Universe pageant.
That's so weird. Like, how do you just own the rights to that? And
yeah,
I don't get that. I mean,
I
guess it probably is a cash cow, to be honest. He's all about the branding, so I'm sure they make the fucking most of that. But why? I don't know. Why is that weird to you, though?
Because Donald Trump's a fucking bigot. That's why.
Well, I think he's mostly against Muslims and Jews, though. I think he's left the black people fairly unscathed at this point.
No.
He likes a lot of black people that work for him.
Exactly.
In his garden.
Exactly. You know what that sounds like? That sounds like fucking slavery, except you're getting paid for it. You're not out there picking cotton.
Yeah. No. You know, it's one of those things, man. Steve Harvey, it's probably a good paycheck.
You think Trump would work for a black man?
Trump doesn't work for anybody, man.
If he's proven
anything in the last 2 or 3 months, is that he don't work for fucking nobody. He worked for his daddy for a couple of years, and
with a small loan of $1 million.
And he don't work for fucking nobody. That guy just says whatever the hell he wants.
Keywords: small loan of $1 million.
Makes fun of whoever he wants and just gets away with it.
You know what he said about him. You know he said about Hillary after he saw the Democrat.
Oh God.
The Democrat
debate.
You know what he said? He said that Hillary got schlong.
Schlong?
Yeah.
Oh my! I thought he said dicked because they bleeped it out. I thought he was saying shit.
Oh, well, maybe
I thought he was
going
to say shit. Dicked.
I saw an article where he said Hillary got schlonged.
I know. The guy, you got to admire the fact that he can just say whatever the fuck he wants.
No, I don't admire that. No, there is a fine line between freedom of speech and respect.
That's true.
There is a fine line between freedom of speech and respect.
And he's walking both sides of that line.
Yes, he has blurred those lines. Yes, you are allowed to say whatever the fuck you want. But please, come on. Respect.
Yeah, that fucking guy, I don't know how he does it, man, but he's a genius. He's
a genius.
Yeah, listen to how much fucking notoriety and credibility he's getting. We're talking about this motherfucker constantly. I mean, like him or not, he's getting what he wants here. You know, he's getting the publicity, he's getting the views, he's getting all that shit that he wants, whether you agree with the bullshit that he has to say or not. So, but fucking A, man, we could do this Trump thing for hours.
I'm not about to.
No, yeah.
He does not deserve the airtime on our show.
Yeah, because there's a lot of people listening, you know, and we got much better things to discuss and get into. But what are you thinking, though, man? Should we keep this going or should we wrap it up here?
I know I want to let our listeners know. I am giving out a women's Seattle Seahawks T-shirt tomorrow on our Facebook and Twitter pages. I only have it in one size. It's in a large. It's a small large. It has been worn or anything. It has been worn or anything. So I don't want y'all to think that it's been worn. It's
hand-me-downs.
Yeah, it's brand new.
Did you buy the wrong size for your girl?
And no. I wanted to be jolly for our listeners.
Oh, shoddy.
Yeah, because no,
what a guy.
Yeah, and because this is the Christmas season, and you know, I was very excited to see that our numbers are going up and up. day by day. And, you know, I just wanted to do a little appreciation for our listeners. So, guys, for all our male listeners, if you haven't got a present yet, or you want to add a present where you don't have to spend money on for your girlfriend, your mom, etc., look, be on the lookout on our Facebook page. I'm going to give everyone a trivia question about one of our shows. First one to message me on Facebook through the Facebook page, the answer, or email us at earfulinecity@gmail.com or Twitter it to me, you'll win the shirt. Now for our out-of-state listeners.
When are you going to be announcing that, though, so they know?
Well, it's going to be random.
It's going to be Jesus.
It's going to be random. Tuned.
You're going to have to fucking earn this tee.
You're going to have to earn this t-shirt.
Nothing's free in this world, people.
If you live in the greater Seattle area, I will personally deliver it to you, or we can meet in a public place, and I'll deliver it to you. Now, if you don't live in the greater Seattle area, or you live out of state, I will mail it to you.
All right, there you go. Look at this guy. What a guy doing it big.
Yes,
I like it.
So please, I will give you a trivia question about one of our shows, and first one to answer it.
It'll be before Christmas.
Well, it's going to be tomorrow where I give it out.
Okay, so it's not random anymore.
Yes, and tonight I will post a picture of the shirt on Twitter and Facebook, so you'll see if you're interested in it. And tomorrow I will post up the trivia.
All right, so question. That's something to look forward to for tomorrow.
But right now,
yeah, we gotta wrap this shit up though, because we got some more work to do here.
Oh no! I thought we're gonna sing the 12 Days of Christmas Seattle version.
We're gonna add that though. We're gonna do that right after here, but we're gonna cut you off here for a minute. So we got to do a little preparation. But hey guys, thanks again for listening, guys. Merry Christmas to all you guys out there. We appreciate you listening. You know, we're doing this for you guys, and you guys are making this easier for us. We hope you guys are having a happy holidays here. Hope you guys are safe. Hope you guys enjoy your family. Don't get too into the whole presents and all that shit. You know, again, just enjoy the time that you have with the people that are around you and the people that you care about, because in my opinion, that is the most important thing to remember when it comes to the holiday season. But again, thanks a lot, guys. We really appreciate you. This has been the holiday edition. We didn't get to everything, but hey, that gives us something for next week. So you guys look forward to that. Merry Christmas to you and all of yours. And we got a little special treat here coming for you guys, our Seattle edition of the 12 Days of Christmas.
I'm Shoddy.
I'm Slim. And you guys enjoy this little treat we got for you. And we'll talk to you next week. All right, and we're back here, guys. Slim and Shoddy, this is our special treat for you guys. This is our Seattle version of the 12 Days of Christmas. I'm going to be over here on the ivories playing the keyboard, and my main man Shoddy is going to be over there belting it out for you. So you guys enjoy this, and Merry Christmas to you and yours.
On the first day of Christmas, Seattle gave to me no 405 toll fee. On the second day of Christmas, Seattle gave to me second Super Bowl ring and no 405 toll fee. On the third day of Christmas, Seattle gave to me free T-Mobile service, second Super Bowl ring and no 405 toll fee. On the fourth day of Christmas, Seattle gave to me four eggnog lattes, free T-Mobile service, second Super Bowl ring, and no 405 toll fee. On the fifth day of Christmas, Seattle gave to me 5 grams of weed. Four eggnog lattes, free T-Mobile service, second Super Bowl ring, and no 405 toll fee. On the sixth day of Christmas, Seattle gave to me 6-pack of Red Hook, 5 grams of weed, 4 eggnog lattes free, T-Mobile service, second Super Bowl ring, and no 405 toll fee. On the 7th day of Christmas, Seattle gave to me 7 Boeing jets, 6-pack of Red Hook, 5 grams of weed, 4 eggnog lattes free, T-Mobile service, second Super Bowl ring, and no 405 toll fee. On the 8th day of Christmas, Seattle gave to me 8 Amazon gift cards, 7 Boeing jets, 6-pack of Red Hook, 5 grams of weed, 4 eggnog lattes free, T-Mobile service, second Super Bowl ring, and no 405 toll fee. On the 9th day of Christmas, Seattle gave to me 9 inches fresh belt, 8 Amazon gift cards, 7 Boeing jets, 6-pack of Red Hook, 5 grams of weed, 4 eggnog lattes free, T-Mobile service, second Super Bowl ring, and no 405 toll fee. On the 10th day of Christmas, Seattle gave to me 10-piece drum I-Force, 9 inches fresh foul, 8 Amazon gift cards, 7 Boeing jets, 6-pack of Red Hook, 5 grams of weed, 4 eggnog lattes free, T-Mobile service, second Super Bowl ring, and no 405 toll fee. On the 11th day of Christmas, Seattle gave to me 11 off-leash dog parts, 10-piece from I-Force, 9 inches fresh foul, 8 Amazon gift cards, 7 Boeing jets, 6-pack of Red Hook, 5 grams of weed, 4 eggnog lattes free, T-Mobile service, second Super Bowl ring, and no 405 toll fee. On the 12th day of Christmas, Seattle gave to me 12 Dixie Lux, 11 off-leash dog parts, 10-piece from I-Force, 9 inches fresh pal, 8 Amazon gift cards, 7 Boeing jets, 6-pack of Red Hook, 5 grams of weed, 4 eggnog lattes free, T-Mobile service, second Super Bowl ring, and no 405 toll fee. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas, motherfuckers. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Thanks for joining Shoddy and Slim on An Earful in the Emerald City. Hope you survived this torture. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Join us next time and tell your friends about the show.